Congregation, let us begin this special worship service in this evening by singing together from Psalter 227, all three verses. O Lord of hosts, how lovely thy tabernacles are. For them my heart is yearning in banishment afar. My soul is longing, fainting, thy sacred courts to see. My heart and flesh are crying, O living God, for thee. We mentioned your Psalter 227, all three stanzas. Scripture reading for this evening can be found in the book of Exodus, chapter 29, verses 38 through 46, and also Exodus 40, verses 34 through 38. But first, let us hear Article 30 and Article 31 from our Confession of Faith. You can follow along on page 20 and 21 in the New Psalter. Article 30, the government of and offices in the church. We believe that this true church must be governed by the spiritual policy which our Lord hath taught us in his word, namely, that there must be ministers or pastors to preach the word of God and to administer the sacraments, also elders and deacons, who together with the pastors form the council of the church, that by these means the true religion may be preserved and the true doctrine everywhere propagated, likewise transgressors punished and restrained by spiritual means, also that the poor and distressed may be relieved and comforted according to their necessities. By these means, everything will be carried on in the church with good order and decency when faithful men are chosen according to the rule prescribed by St. Paul in his epistle to Timothy. Article 31, the ministers, elders, and deacons. We believe that the ministers of God's word and the elders and deacons ought to be chosen to their respective offices by a lawful election of the church, with calling upon the name of the Lord and that order which the word of God teaches. Therefore, everyone must take heed not to intrude himself by indecent means, but is bound to wait till it shall please God to call him, that he may have testimony of his calling and be certain and assured that it is of the Lord. As for the ministers of God's word, they have equally the same power and authority wheresoever they are, as they are all ministers of Christ, the only universal bishop and the only head of the church. Moreover, that this holy ordinance of God may not be violated or slighted, we say that everyone ought to esteem the ministers of God's word and the elders of the church very highly for their work's sake, and be at peace with them without murmuring, strife, or contention as much as possible. We mentioned to you Exodus 29, verse 38 through 46. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. And with the one lamb a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of a hin of beaten oil, and the fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, and shalt do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them, I am the Lord their God. We also would like to read from Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 through 38. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys.
Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Almighty and all-knowing and all-sufficient Lord, to whom all things are known most perfectly, it is in this evening hour, which is a special hour, that thou hast brought us with the congregation of Cortland, with those that have come up together with us, here in thy house may bow before thee. Lord, may there then be a people gathered in thy house or listening along, in whose heart it did echo that how lovely, Lord of hosts, thy tabernacles are, and that there is no better place on earth than thy house, where we be gathered from time to time, separated from all that goes on in the world, to be under the proclamation of thy word. And Lord, may there then this evening hour be lifted up an Ebenezer, a memorial stone, stone of help, that it be experienced by this flock, by their consistory to be installed, and also by the consistory and the congregation of Norwich,
from the which those people came and now may become their own congregation. Lord, may this place by thy presence be blessed and by thy glory be sanctified. For what is a church building and what is a people gathered there if thou wilt not be in their midst? But we humbly beseech thee, Lord, that thou wilt not only remain with the mother congregation in Norwich, but also will be and remain with this flock. And that from this evening on no longer be a branch of Norwich, but may be their own independent congregation. What a privilege. In a time in which many churches be closed, be transformed to museums, or places of wickedness, that there may be opened a church and instituted a congregation. And we beseech thee, Lord, wilt thou with thy presence bless this flock, and that there may be among them that be jealous of the sparrow and the swallow, that build their nest by thine altars, and that have a desire and a longing to also be found there with a hunger and a thirst for thee, the living God, as a heart panteth after the water brooks. People that cannot miss the Lord anymore, but must experience that they miss him by their own fault, with a bridge that we have made between us and thee, and have cried out in speaking actions from day to day, depart from me, for I have no desire in the knowledge of thy ways. Now there is no one that is asking for the Lord. But Lord, what a wonder that thou art still asking for children of Adam, and that thou art still coming unto us with thy precious word, testifying that there is but one blessed people, and that is thy people. And that is a sanctified people. And that is a humble people. That is a people that has no rest until they find it outside of self in Christ. Oh, may he be exalted among this flock to the highest. And may we sinners be abased to the lowest, and it be taught and explained how they now come together by thy word and spirit guided. Lord, wilt thou remember this flock, that they may hold fast that which they have, that they would not change the old path, but may continually say, thus saith the Lord. For all that is not according to thy word will not stand and will not hold in eternity. Lord, that then by the proclamation of thy word and by the reading services, Thou wilt be pleased to prick sinners in their hearts, but also to instruct thy people. And thou knowest the frames, the little ones, the babes that can only cry unto thee, the living God. To the children and the young people and the fathers and the older ones in grace, all things are known to thee. May there be a word in due season for each and every one of them. And that also from this congregation may be set low how they love one another, how they love thy word, the truth, according to salvation. Grant Aaron's and hers in this flock, and may also those that are chosen as office bearer to be installed this evening, may they, according to what thou hast said in thy word, know about the praying and the humble life, bound at the throne of grace. And that thou wilt with thy presence bless this people, that new ones be born in Zion, of which it can be testified, this one and that one is born in Zion. For Lord, when thou wilt work in the heart of young and old, then it is made known among thy people, and that they may notice it even before such a sinner will speak one word about it. Lord, wilt thou remember each and every one of us, thy servants who may be gathered with us, that may serve in their respective congregations, and one older emeritus brother, but thou knowest most perfectly all we stand in need of. May we truly be and remain servants, as servants watching their master's hand, so to the Lord our eyes we raise, personally and officially, until his mercy he displays. Remember all the labors that are awaiting thy blessing, the mission field, our school, the Christian schools in North America, the care among the elderly. And Lord, when we may stand at the beginning of a new season of house visitation and catechizing, or that we then at moments may hear something of thy work. Give the brothers to be installed a sigh in their heart, who is sufficient to these things. May our sufficiency be of thee. And help also thy servant, who is called to perform the labors. He is but a man like all others. But Lord, wilt thou grant him to speak, if the thoughts in his mind, the subject in his heart, and that thy presence be felt, be experienced in this evening. And that the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, may fill this house, thy abode. We beseech thee, forgive all that was amiss. Help and strengthen us in the name and for the sake of Christ alone. Amen.
While your collection be received, and there will be one collection for the church, and may the Lord bless thee and thy gift, then we will sing together Psalter 368, Arise, O Lord our God, arise, and enter now into thy rest, all at this house, be thy abode forever, with thy presence blessed. 368. may now be true, beloved. That there be such a sighing people this evening that has but one desire. Not to see the church prosper outwardly, but in the inner room, arise, O Lord, and enter thou into this thy house. And if that now be true for the Cortland congregation, that there may be a people that experience, I will abundantly provide out of the fountains of salvation. Oh, then it is a special hour this evening. September 1st, 2019, was the last Sunday that as entire Norwich congregation we were gathered in the Norwich Church. That has become too small for the people. And we stood before the choice to expand or to start a branch. And under looking unto the Lord, the last was decided. And the Lord has opened the way and provided. And given that in this evening the congregation, the branch may become independent, instituted, organized. And then we look back to the past 4 years. And what may we then say hitherto as the Lord helped us? And now given this congregation, in a time which many churches be closed, churches in which maybe in the past the truth more or less was heard, and now have become tents of wickedness. Oh, may the Lord keep this flock from that, but keep the truth among us to hold that fast. But the Lord has entrusted unto us. And how is that possible? That is only possible when the Lord with his presence will bless this church and with his glory will fill his house and the hearts. We will consider that in this evening hour briefly with the help of the Lord. And awaiting his blessing, God's word, our text, can be found in our scripture reading, Exodus, and thereof chapter 29, verse 44. And then we read God's word as follows. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. And I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And have we write under this text, the house of the Lord. It's not just a building in which we are right. Always remember, it is the Lord's house. And have we considered briefly three thoughts. In the first place, a sanctified place, for we read, and I will sanctify the tabernacle. In the second place, a sanctified office. We read in the text, I will sanctify also Aaron and his sons. And in the third place, a sanctified people. That's what it comes down to. Because we read, and I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation.
the house of the Lord, a sanctified place, a sanctified office, a sanctified people. Our text, beloved, is taken from the second book of Moses, a book in which we read how that the Lord and the people of Israel has led out of Egypt with a strong hand and a stretched out arm. And how the Lord has led them through the impossibilities, through the Red Sea. Oh, there were times of first love. The people could sing. Oh yeah, they followed a Mara and an Elim. There was a first love, as there is also in the life of God's true people. And the choice be worked in their heart, not to be repented of. I will heartily love thee, Lord, my strength. And there can be moments that they say, Lord, now I will sin nevermore. But you know how that goes, people, right? Don't last long. What do they need? The further leadings of the Lord. Oh, we live in a time that many people can be so satisfied with what they then call a beginning. But you know what is a true beginning? When you be never satisfied before the Lord has given a solution in your life. For what? For the breach that we have made between God and our soul. And for the sin that is as a mountain between God and the soul. We see that in the life of Israel in the wilderness. After the first love, the Lord gives the further leadings. Where did they come? Mount Sinai, Horeb. The law was received. And there are signs of thunderings and lightnings. And the people experience the holiness and the majesty of the Lord. Isn't that true in the life of all God's people? Why do they have no rest? Because of that sin against a holy and a good-doing God. Against the majesty of heaven. And the Lord receives, gives them a knowledge of God and of self and of sin. I have done that which is evil in his sight, a godly sorrow. And my beloved, when that be received, you will never be able to wipe the tears from their eyes by giving them false rest and build them on a false foundation. No. They have no rest until the Lord comes, bringing them at the end of the law. And to hear then, I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, a people brought to the end with themselves, where the Lord makes room for the gospel of free and sovereign grace in Christ. And how does the Lord that make that known? Well, by the proclamation of his word. And to that end, the Lord gave a house, the tabernacle, unto the people of Israel. A tabernacle, a tent. It could be broken up and the pins out of the earth taken, and it would be replaced. A picture. We have no continuing city. And the pins of our life may not be too tight in this world. Because there comes a day we have to break up. And we have to enter eternity. Now, what was that now for tabernacle? What was that now, that sanctified place? Well, that was built, that was made, not at the initiative of Moses and Aaron. No, the tabernacle had to be built exactly as the Lord has outlined and shown unto Moses upon the mount. So that means the congregation of Cortland cannot be a congregation according to their likings. And what is read and preached here may never be according to the liking of man, no, only as the Lord has outlined. Brothers, office bearers, you may never ever come on the house visitations and speaking with people otherwise than thus saith the Lord. As outlined as given on the mountain, not on their own initiative, not their own willed religion, but my opinion and I think, but hear the word of God. And as everything in the tabernacle in that sanctified place spoke from the court and the holy and the most holy place to what was all found in the tabernacle, to the clothing, the dressing, the dress code the Lord gave unto the office bearers and to the people. There lie lessons in too. Parents, may I ask you, do you still have for your children special clothes for the Sunday? You don't hear that so often anymore, eh? Realize that we come before God's countenance and that everything there to may testify also in our appearance before the countenance of the Lord. As the Lord has outlined on the Mount of Sinai. Well, in our text, in this chapter, we see how that the Lord has also called to have the sacrifices in his house, the daily sacrifices, the daily burnt offerings. So the service in the house of the Lord and religion is not only a matter of the Sabbath day, of the Sunday. We would say it's not a Sunday religion, I hope, flock of Cortland. That your religion goes a little deeper than only a Sunday religion. But that it is the desire of your heart to all the days of your life. As David said in Psalm 27, dwell in the house of the Lord. And that there may be a people among you that has a desire for that blood of the sacrifice to be sprinkled on their hearts. Because nothing can comfort them. Unless the Lord speaks, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. A continual burnt offering. Now, and in that light we read in our text, and I will sanctify the tabernacle. So it is in the house of the Lord, not in the first place about the people. And it is in the first place not about the office bearers. And it is not in the first place about, no, name it. No, I will. There you have the one-sided work of God, that I, who is called the Lord with all capital letters, the triune God, the Father in his eternal electing good pleasure. Oh, from the stillness of eternity, knew that man as created would fall away and never return. And he could have left man in the fallen ruin, but now in his eternal good pleasure, in that eternal covenant of grace, has chosen himself a people to save them. I, the Lord God in Christ, whom he thereto appointed to be the surety. Who will go? I come to do thy will. God in Christ, who gave himself, never done sin. Who convinces me of sin? And yet if ye seek me, let these go their way. I will, by his word and spirit, all there to place yourself faithfully under the means. With the sigh, could it be that it pleases the Lord to use it and to break the heart and grant it life in your soul. I will sanctify. And to sanctify means as much as set apart, set aside, and dedicate it to his service. May I say it simply, children? In this church you will never find a sale. No. No market. No. It's the marketplace of the soul. And everything that lies outside ought not to be in God's house. I will sanctify this place that you received in the Lord's providence out of his hands is dedicated to God's word. I will, and may it then be too in that way, I will be sanctified, abundantly provide. And then the annotations, they say by this text that it pleases the Lord with his presence and his glory to fill the house. So what does it mean to sanctify that house, the tabernacle? When is that sanctified? When we can say after a service that was a nice sermon? No. When we can say, no, it was good to be in God's house? No. When does the Lord sanctify his house? When he comes with his abode. And when he sends the arrows in the heart of young and old, of sinners, and breaks their heart, when does he sanctify this place? And there may be now this evening that may go out at the end smiting the breast like a publican. Or like a Manasseh and in prison, in the inner room, acknowledging that the Lord, he is God. So what is it a privilege to become an independent church? Independent too? Don't think so. I may be outwardly in the denomination, but I hope you may never become independent in yourself. But dependent on the Lord, there you have the depth. Sanctify the tabernacle, place of the Lord. What also a responsibility for the entire congregation and for the office bearers. Secondly, the sanctified office. We read it, and I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. I will sanctify them. So Aaron and his sons did not sanctify themselves. Aaron and his sons, office bearers, do not intrude themselves. Those that want to be office bearer, you don't need them. You can miss them. But those that are not able, those that must say, who is sufficient to these things, then the Lord can use. I never come beyond that. I will sanctify Aaron. Form for the installation will say it. Those voted, those called by the Lord. Not because they are better or worthier, but because it pleases the Lord. I will also sanctify Aaron and his sons. So the priests and the Levites, the different offices. And when you then read in the book of Exodus, what are the requirements and how that the Lord wants them to serve. And you will understand in this special hour, we can only point at a few little things. And I hope you may meditate a little on that. And you read in the book of Exodus that the Lord has given unto the office bearers a special garment. So when the children ever ask you, elder, deacon, minister, why you have a black suit? They will live in the time that you don't recognize office bearers anymore.
You read it, holy garment. And the high priest even received an ephod with 12 stones. He was bearing the people on his heart, literally. I hope the office bearers that the Lord gives, given unto Cortland, may bear the flock on their hearts. Then they won't stand above them. And they will not say, hey, we are the boss. But then they may serve as a servant watching their master's hand, thus to the Lord, their eyes they raise. Then they are so dependent on the Lord. And when Aaron had that ephod on his heart, that means he was moved with the people. May that be noticed. But the office bears that God's servants are moved with the flock and trust it unto them. In the way they speak, in the way they act, how is that possible? A sanctified people, because there has been one, the chief high priest, Christ, offered from the stillness of eternity, I come, who gave himself to be crucified, high priest, altar and sacrifice at the same time. We have an altar in heaven because of that great chief high priest, Christ. The Lord still gives office bearers in his church. And what does now the Lord say then in his word? That those office bearers shall first sacrifice for themselves and then for the congregation. So what is the requirement of an office bearer? That they may know first about personal grace and then official grace. We may never take away that requirement. No, we are not to judge. And the criteria is not whether someone attends the Lord's Supper, yes or no. But do they know about personal grace? Do they now know where the Lord found them? Where the Lord stopped them? Where the Lord humbled them? Do they now know something of a hunger and a thirst of to be a sparrow in the house of the Lord? Beside an altar, longing, having no rest until the Lord gives a solution in the heart. And then also official grace. Oh, then they need to be endowed by the Holy Spirit. Aaron and his sons, they were anointed with oil. Picture of the Holy Spirit. These office bearers and God's people in the office of all the faithful, as we say, they know about that oil of God's Spirit when the Lord works in their life. Sacrifice. I will sanctify Aaron and his son, but also that altar. Oh, amen. And the people came with the sacrifice. They had to lay their hands first on the head of that sacrifice as a sign. I am guilty. I should have perished everlastingly. But what a wonder. That lamb instead of me, pointing at him, because the blood of bulls and goats could not sanctify them, but that blood of him that speaks of better things, that cleanses from all sins. Sanctified place, a sanctified office. And there they stood, serving before the countenance of the Lord. What does that mean? Congregation, may I begin with you. Those office bearers are voted. You pray for them. I hope you pray them much empty, because then the Lord can fill them. And I hope you may pray them full, because then God's servants may preach themselves empty, and the office bearers, they may at moments speak out of the fullness of the work of the Lord. And then it may be heard in the houses of nations. And it may be heard, and God's word be opened, office bearers, before God's countenance, unto thee, O Lord Jehovah, do I lift my waiting soul. That there is not one time that they go on house visitation or they first bow their knees. And they will never say, and I'm office bearer now already for so long, I've experienced enough, I can manage it. We'll never go. But there can be those moments that you are looking up the most against it. And how must this go tonight? Or you flee in the inner room. And then the Lord gives so much opening and shows he is a surprising God unto me. O Lord Jehovah, show thy ways and teach thou me. What's an office bearer in the right frame? With Paul in the inner room, behold, he prays. Sanctified office. A moment now also a sanctified people. And not only the office bearers need a tender life at the throne of grace, but also a sanctified people, we read. And I will sanctify the tabernacle. No. The tabernacle of the congregation. Now there is a twofold people. There is that outward congregation. There is the outward church, and there is the inward church, the living church, God's people. I will sanctify. Who are they, that congregation? Conceived and born in sin. Children of wrath. Who are they, the congregation? Runaways. Enemies of God and of the neighbor. Who are they? Yeah, those who under God's providence are raised or brought into the church and have received a place under the truth. The congregation, not loose sand, that if they today can find it here, they go somewhere else thinking that the grass on the other side of the fence is always greener. No. I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation. People that may be under the truth. The people also set apart and dedicated. Not only on Sunday. When the people that drive by see the parking lot here filled with cars, and the people nicely dressed go or come out of church, but all the days, they may recognize us. Not that they, when they meet us on Monday or whatever day of the week, they say, are they now going to this church in Norwich or that church in Cortland? You don't even notice it. But set apart. And that also our life outwardly may be a separate. We are to be a separate people. But especially God's people, set apart, the inward church. Are they always living out of that ark? Aaron, children, was Aaron a child of God? Yes, he was, wasn't he? But Moses is on the mountain, and what happens then? And the people come to Aaron and they say, Moses is gone for so long. Make us a golden calf. And Aaron cannot withstand it. Eli, was he a child of God? Yes, he was. And yet he did not even look sour to his sons. And there when Moses received the law, when the Lord wrote with his own finger, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and thou shalt have no graven image, nor any likeness. And at the same time they were dancing and singing around the golden calf. These are thy gods. Oh, when the Lord gave those first two commandments, Israel at the same time was sinning against it.
And then the Lord filled with holy wrath and said, Moses, now I will slay this people and I will make a new beginning with thee. And what does Moses do? Because he bore the people on his heart. Lord, what wilt thou do with thy great name? Shall then the people in Egypt say that their God had brought them in the wilderness to kill them all? Moses, the mediator between God and the people, pleading with the Lord for his mercy. Oh, may there be such office bearers here. May there be such Aaron and hers in the midst of this congregation. If thy presence goes not with us, let us not go up hence. Thy presence, that what it is about, in the midst of the congregation and in the heart of God's people. We sang it forever with thy presence blessed. Because if the Lord be not here, and we can have the tooth, and we can have office bearers, and we can have a church full of people, and yet it is empty. But when the Lord is there, and there can be two or three gathered in the name of the Lord, and the Lord be there. A sanctified congregation, a sanctified people. And how does he sanctify? Not only outwardly, but inwardly, by heart renewing grace. Children, that's now the most important thing. Your father and your mother hopefully teach you in that. You need a new heart. You still remember how we not too long ago spoke about it, that the Lord will take the stony heart away. Ezekiel 11, and give a heart of flesh. That's what you need. You ask for that every day. Because when the Lord gives a new heart, it's also a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That is a people that may lay in the inner room. And that in a godly sorrow may sigh, O God, be merciful to me. I become so dependent. But oh, when the Lord opens their eyes for Christ, the only Savior and Mediator, and their heart may at moments be filled with heavenly joy. Sanctified people, then they may experience what it says. Sanctified, dedicated. Then it is not only in the choice, I will heartily love thee, but that there may also be something of the desire, what wilt thou have me to do here in the beginning, here imperfect. Here is even in the life of sanctification the best works defiled with sin, and yet I will sanctify. There lies the secret, the triune God in Christ by his Holy Spirit. I will sanctify. What a privilege, if that may be true. In the heart of this one or that one, let me come up. And that has no rest until the Lord has given them a token of his favor. Oh, that first time. You still remember that in your life, that you hardly dare to sleep if the Lord did not speak by his word or what you read about it. And how many days after followed, maybe you must say without number, that we could lay ourselves to rest without it. I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation. Oh, what is it a privilege that the church not be closed but opened. What a privilege in the time in which we live, in which so much testifies we have no desire in the knowledge of his ways. And where so many outward Christians show the same in their life. Let it not be said of us.
but also a responsibility, but an obligation. And a congregation may be instituted, what an obligation, to be under God's word and to stay under the truth. And to ask, may that truth break my heart. The Lord has a people that may not deny it. And when people, has there been the last time in your life, in our life, that word of God as an arrow went into the heart, and that word of God instructed us. That's the way the Lord wants to bless. When Aaron laid a blessing upon the congregation, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace, then Aaron was not speaking about the blessing for the congregation out of God's left hand. No. But then he was speaking about the blessing of God's right hand that Aaron could not give the congregation. That we cannot give one another, neither ourselves. But what the Lord is able, there lies the secret. I will sanctify. O beloved congregation of Cortland, may these words be fulfilled among you, not only for the time, but for eternity, in the way that a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, by day and by night, may fill this abode with his presence. That new ones be born. That God's people be instructed. That God's name be glorified. There be made room for Christ. That I may know him. Follow on to know him. And the more we now may learn to die itself, the more we may learn to know him, the more that desire becomes true. I will sanctify. And what is here in the beginning, that will be there forever. Then the Dutch psalm sings about it. Sanctified people, let me sing of his faithfulness and to never ending eternity, to his honor and to his glory. Amen. We will sing on 76, 1 and 3. O God, to us show mercy and bless us in thy grace. Cause thou to shine upon us the brightness of thy face. 1 and 3 of 176. will now read the form of ordination of elders and deacons, as you can find that on page 149 in the back of your psalter. Beloved Christians, you know that we have several times published unto you the names of our brethren here present, who are chosen to the office of elders and deacons in this church, to the end that we might know whether any person had ought to allege why they should not be ordained in their respective office. And whereas no one has appeared before us who hath alleged anything lawful against them, we shall therefore at present in the name of the Lord proceed to their ordination. But first you are who are to be ordained, and all those who are here present shall attend to a short declaration of the word of God concerning the institution and the office of elders and deacons. Of the elders is to be observed that the word elder or eldest, which is taken from the Old Testament and signifieth a person who is placed in an honorable office of government over others, is applied to two sorts of persons who minister in the Church of Jesus Christ. For the apostle saith, the elders that rule well shall be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Hence it is evident that there were two sorts of elders in the apostolic church, the former whereof did labor in the word and doctrine, and the latter did not. The first were the ministers of the word and pastors who preached the gospel and administered the sacraments. But the others, who did not labor in the word and still did serve in the church, bore a particular office. Namely, they had the oversight of the church and ruled the same with the ministers of the word. For Paul in Romans 12, having spoken of the ministry of the word and also of the office of distribution or deaconship, speaketh afterwards particularly of this office, saying, he that ruleth, let him do it with diligence. Likewise, in another place, he counts government among the gifts and offices which God hath instituted in the church. Thus we see that these sorts of ministers are added to the others who preach the gospel to aid and assist them. As in the Old Testament, the common Levites were to the priests in the service of the tabernacle, in those things which they could not perform alone. Notwithstanding, the offices always remain distinct one from another. Moreover, it is proper that such men should be joined to the ministers of the word in the government of the church, to the end that thereby all tyranny and lording may be kept out of the church of God, which may sooner creep in when the government is placed in the hands of one alone or a very few. And thus the ministers of the word, together with the elders, form a body or assembly, being as a council of the church, representing the whole church, to which Christ alludes when he saith, tell the church, which can in no wise be understood of all and every member of the church in particular, but very properly of those who govern the church out of which they are chosen. Therefore, in the first place, the office of elders is, together with the ministers of the word, to take the oversight of the church which is committed to them, and diligently to look whether everyone properly deports himself in his confession and conversation, to admonish those who behave themselves disorderly, and to prevent as much as possible the sacraments from being profaned, and to act according to the Christian discipline against the impenitent, and to receive the penitent again into the bosom of the church. As doth not only appear from the above-mentioned saying of Christ, but also from many other places in Holy Writ, as 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians 2. That these things are not alone entrusted to one or two persons, but to many who are ordained thereto. Secondly, since the apostle enjoined that all things shall be done decently and in order amongst Christians, and that no other persons ought to serve in the church of Christ, but those who are lawfully called according to the Christian ordinance, therefore it is also the duty of the elders to pay regard to it, and in all occurrences which relate to the welfare and good order of the church, to be assistant with their good counsel and advice to the ministers of the word,
yea, also to serve all Christians with advice and consolation. Thirdly, it is also the duty particularly to have regard unto the doctrine and conversation of the ministers of the word, to the end that all things may be directed to the edification of the church, and that no strange doctrine be taught, according to that which we read in Acts 20, where the apostle exhorteth to watch diligently against the wolves which might come into the sheepfold of Christ, for the performance of which the elders are in duty bound diligently to search the word of God and continually be meditating on the mysteries of faith. Concerning the deacons, of the origin and institution of their office we may read in Acts 6, that we find that the apostles themselves did in the beginning serve the poor, at whose feet was brought the price of the things that were sold. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. But afterwards, when a murmuring arose, because the widows of the Grecians were neglected in the daily ministrations, men were chosen by the advice of the apostles, who should make the service of the poor their peculiar business, to the end that the apostles might continually give themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And this has been continued from the time forward in the church, as appears from Romans 12, where the apostle, speaking of this office, saith, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." And in 1 Corinthians 12, speaking of helps, he means those who are appointed in the church to help and assist the poor and indigent in time of need. From which passage we may easily gather what the deacon's office is, namely, that they in the first place collect and preserve with the greatest fidelity and diligence the alms and goods which are given to the poor, yea, to do their utmost endeavors that many good means be procured for the relief of the poor. The second part of their office consists in distribution, wherein are not only required a discretion and prudence to bestow the alms only on objects of charity, but also cheerfulness and simplicity to assist the poor with compassion and hearty affection, as the apostle requires in Romans 12 and 2 Corinthians 9. For which end it is very beneficial that they do not only administer relief to the poor and indigent with external gifts, but also with comfortable words from Scripture. May I now ask the brothers to stand up. To the end, therefore, beloved brethren, that everyone may hear that you are willing to take your respective offices upon you, ye shall answer to the following questions. And in the first place, I ask you, both elders and deacons, whether you do not feel in your hearts that ye are lawfully called of God's church, and consequently of God himself, to these your respective holy offices. Secondly, whether ye believe the books of the Old and New Testament to be the only word of God and the perfect doctrine of salvation, and to reject all doctrines repugnant thereto. And thirdly, whether you promise, agreeably to said doctrine, faithfully according to your ability, to discharge your respective offices, as ye do here, describe ye elders in the government of the church, together with the ministers of the word, and ye deacons in the ministration of the poor, do you also jointly promise to walk in all godliness and to submit yourself in case ye should become remiss in your duty to the admonition of the church. What is your answer, Elder Eric Korvar? Elder Stephen van Brugge, Deacon Brian Boostert, Deacon Derek de Bruin. The Almighty God and Father replenish you all with his grace, that you may faithfully and fruitfully discharge your respective offices. Amen. Therefore, ye elders, be diligent in the government of the church, which is committed to you and the ministers of the word.
Be also as watchmen over the house and city of God, faithful to admonish and to caution everyone against his ruin. Take heed that purity of doctrine and godliness of life be maintained in the church of God. And ye deacons, be diligent in collecting the alms, prudent and cheerful in the distribution of the same. Assist the oppressed. Provide for the two widows and orphans. Show liberality unto all men, but especially to the household of faith. Be ye all with one accord, faithful in your offices, and hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, being good examples unto all the people. In so doing, ye will purchase to yourself a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus, and hereafter enter into the joy of our Lord. On the other hand, beloved Christians, receive these men as the servants of God. Count the elders that rule well worthy of double honor. Give yourself willingly to the inspection and government. Provide the deacons with good means to assist the indigent. Be charitable, ye rich, give liberally and continue willingly. And ye poor, be poor in spirit and deport yourself respectfully towards your benefactors. Be thankful to them and avoid murmuring. Follow Christ for the food of your souls, but not for bread. Let him that has stolen or has been burdensome to their neighbors steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which are good, that he may give to him that needeth. Each of you, doing these things in your respective callings, shall receive of the Lord the reward of righteousness. Beloved brothers and beloved congregation, you still know what the Lord spoke in that last service that we had together September 1st in Norwich as congregation, before the branch would start, about that pillar of cloud and that pillar of fire out of Exodus 13 that would go before and we have wished and hoped that the Lord would provide and go before. And this evening, dear brothers and congregation of Courtland, we see that the Lord has provided. What is now needed, now that Bible on this pulpit was open, that first service 1 week later from Haggai 2, that the Lord says, and in this place I will give peace. Well, then it is great that we may keep the peace among one another, and that there may be unity and love. But then it is most important that the peace which passeth all understanding may be received. Tonight, we also read about the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Now, not only to go before the congregation when they had to travel, but that pillar that filled the house of the Lord with his abode. I wholeheartedly wish and hope and pray that the Lord will fill your hearts for the first time or by renewal to serve as the servants watching the great master's hand until his mercy he displays. And I hope and pray that you may thus be given to see the same fruits also in the congregation, the sanctified place. And it's about that house of the Lord that be sanctified.
the sanctified office, then it's about the installation of office bearers and the sanctified people, and it's about the institution of the congregation. And we mentioned it already. That's now the true church. It's a living church. And there is a people that may become a member of that. And the further the Lord leads them, the more they must unlearn. And the greater wonder it becomes that the Lord bears with us and keeps us. I hope, brothers, that you may experience that you can never do it, and that you are never able, but that your sufficiency may be of the Lord. Beloved congregation, from this moment on, you are no longer a branch of Norwich. That fills you with all kinds of thoughts, and us not less. But what a wonder that the Lord has given that. As consistory of Norwich, we are glad, and as denomination, we are glad that the Lord has given that. And as classes and other congregation, same word, same we need. A new congregation, not with a new gospel. No. Old fashioned truth. Not to left, not to right, to deviate. Thus saith the Lord. All we hope, we wish, we pray that the Lord may make his abode among you. No, in you. May the Lord bless you, his congregation, and make you, together with the office bearers, a rich blessing. Much has been done in the past. Most of you have served before in the Norwich consistory. You have been given strength. And also on behalf of the consistory, we wish to thank you for all your labors. I wish you that the Lord may guide and lead with this flock. That new ones be born in Zion, and that God's people be edified. Congregation, shall we sing? We do that standing. The third to 436. His gracious blessings rest on all. From Zion a dove is, favor a show. The third of 436, standing.
His
that since we are unable of ourselves, let us call upon the name of the Lord in prayer and thanksgiving. O Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that it has pleased Thee to the better edification of Thy Church to ordain in it, besides the ministers of the word, rulers and assistants, by whom Thy Church may be preserved in peace and prosperity, and the indigent assisted, and that Thou hast a present granted us in this place, men who are of good testimony, and as we hope and doubt with Thy Spirit, we beseech Thee replenish them more and more with such gifts as are necessary for them in their ministration, with the gifts of wisdom, courage, discretion, and benevolence, to the end that everyone may, in his respective office, acquit himself as it is becoming the elders, in taking diligent heed unto the doctrine and conversation, in keeping out the wolves from the sheepfold of thy beloved Son, and in admonishing and reproving disorderly persons. In like manner, the deacons, in carefully receiving and liberally and prudently distributing of the alms to the poor, and in comforting them with thy holy word, if grace both to the elders and deacons, that they may preserve in their faithful labor and never become weary by reason of any trouble, pain, or persecution of the world. Grant also especially thy divine grace to this people over whom they are placed, that they may willingly submit themselves to the good exhortation of the elders, counting them worthy of honor for their work's sake. Give also unto the rich liberal hearts towards the poor, and to the poor grateful hearts towards those who help and serve them, to the end that everyone acquitting himself of his duty, thy holy name may thereby be magnified, and the kingdom of thy Son Jesus Christ enlarged, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. We will now sing together Psalter 196, both stanzas. Blessed be the Lord, our Father's God, eternal King of kings. And after this psalter, there will be a few, I hope to add a few words. And in this order, first, Reverend H. DeLeo on behalf of the classes East, and Reverend Den Hollander on behalf of the classes Far West, and finally, Elder Corovar on behalf of the NRC Cortland congregation, 196.
brothers of the new consistory of the Cortland congregation, and also to the new congregation, I may speak here tonight on behalf of Classes East and also as a minister who lives a few miles down the road from you. And then I hope, dear brothers, that you may receive to serve the congregation. And that serving, that is to deny ourselves. And in that denying of ourselves, yeah, then who am I to say it? Only 4 years in the ministry. But that is, take up the cross. And that the Lord may richly fulfill it for each one of you. You have received an office which is displaying one of the offices of the Lord Jesus himself. The deacons, the priestly work, and the elders, the kingly work. To take up the cross and follow him. That you may be richly administered out of his fullness. Then you can serve. Then the Lord is able to use you to serve. And who does the Lord administer? That is a people who always again need to be straightened out by the Lord. Moses was on way to that great task of delivering Egypt and delivering Israel out of Egypt. And what do you read in the Bible? He sought God, sought to kill him. Why? There was something not straight. He had neglected something. And now the Lord loves himself so much that those whom he calls in his holy service, he deals with them. And dear brothers, that you may have dealings of the Most High. But that's the other thing. Blood flowed there. Of that foreskin of his son. And the Lord has dealings with office bearers. And the Lord will, he sought to kill him, to save him. That's the wonder. Through that blood, Moses was raised up again. And that so also you may be administered out of that blood fountain that has been opened. For the sins, for the iniquity of the house of Israel, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And dear congregation, here sit four office bearers who the Lord has raised up in your midst. For what? Because the Lord is willing to use instruments in his service. Are you unconverted tonight? Are you unconverted? Here sit four men. In an office they have received from the Lord. But the Lord says, I will use the offices to convert what is unconverted. That you may go on your knees tonight, my dear unconverted here. Say, Lord, four office bearers. May they be used. May they be used as an instrument for my conversion. And then people of the Lord. That you may receive also prayer for them. And that they may be used by the Lord. To display more of him. And that is the same for you, Church of God. Then always something has to be straightened out again. We have to lose ourselves. And that so also in Cortland. The Lord may build his church. You have a beautiful name. You have a beautiful name. Cortland. Land of the court. Shall you remember one thing? You have to meet your judge. There is a court case coming between you and that judge. And now that judge still gives to you a church building, a church to come to. He grants unto you time of grace. He grants unto you means of grace. Oh, that the Lord would then be pleased to use it. Because the other side is also true, dear congregation. Will it testify against us? The Lord is free. May the Lord glorify that he still is pleased to convert sinners in your midst. And brothers, there stands your moderator. But as I said, a couple miles down the road. If you need it, I will be glad to be of assistance. Also not because we can do it, but the Lord has called us, and then we hope we may also be of assistance for you. So be it.
Dear consistory and congregation of Cortland, I'm very glad to be able to be with you tonight on behalf of Classes Far West to bring to you their greetings and their best wishes. And what shall we wish you? We read in Genesis 28, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." The Lord is in this place. And Jacob said, "I knew it not." And if we ask our boys and girls, why did Jacob not know that? You know that the Lord is everywhere, right? He's omnipresent. Do you think that Jacob knew that God is everywhere? I think he knew that too. But Jacob said, "I knew it not." Jacob experienced something. Now he knew that the Lord was in this place. Did you ever know that? That was before what we heard tonight, that there was an institution of the tabernacle and a sanctification of God's house. But here already, well before that, Jacob felt it. Thus have we ever felt. Have we ever been in a certain place? Do we know where that place is? And we have said also with Jacob, the Lord is in this place. Jacob says, "Surely the Lord is in this place." He was so absolutely sure. How did Jacob know? Say, well, the Lord spoke to him. That is how he knew. The Lord appeared to him. Did the Lord ever appear to you? Did the Lord ever speak to you? If the Lord has ever spoken to us, if the Lord has ever appeared to us, then we will say also with Jacob, surely the Lord is in this place. Jacob did not deserve that. Jacob was fleeing from his brother. Jacob was not honest. And yet it is Jacob that may say that the Lord is in this place. How did Jacob know? What did the Lord do? The Lord showed to Jacob that he knew where he was. Guilty man. But the Lord showed to him that he knew just where he was. The Lord gave to Jacob direction in his life. He showed him what he had to do. The Lord gave to Jacob a promise, a wonderful thing in the life of that man. And that is how Jacob knew. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." how dreadful is this place. That is, he stood in awe. And when the Lord will appear, and you will say, surely the Lord is in this place, then you will stand in awe with Jacob. This is none other but the house of God. That is what we heard tonight. The house of God, sanctified to be the house of God, that tabernacle. But it did not begin there, did it? The Lord was the same also for Jacob. And when the Lord came with his presence, then the Lord sanctified it for Jacob to be the house of God. That is when he felt it. That is when he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And that is what made that place for him the house of God and the very gate of heaven. That is what the Lord showed Jacob in that house of God. The gate of heaven. A ladder between the earth and the heaven. And we hope and we wish that this place also may be experienced to be the same as what Jacob may experience. That which we heard tonight of the promise of the Lord to sanctify and to set apart that place of his sanctuary may be experienced in the heart of very, very many of you. Also when you are young, children, boys and girls, ask the Lord now, wilt thou make it also for me the house of the Lord, the tabernacle of the Lord, and that I may also experience and know surely that the Lord is in this place, and that this is the house of God, and that this is the very gate of heaven. That is our wish for you from on behalf of the classes far west.
Beloved, a special evening that we may have here in Cortland. And I read in Psalm 136 where it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And the psalmist goes on and mentions many times in that psalm to give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For his mercy endureth forever. Congregation, that is why we may be here in this evening. That is why the people of Israel could come out of the land of Egypt, and that the Lord gave the tabernacle, and that he sanctified it. It's because his mercy endureth forever. And therefore, we desire, first of all, before all others, to acknowledge the Lord for all of these benefits and blessings that he has bestowed upon us in also bringing us to this very evening. But then I think it is also very fitting to acknowledge Reverend Huckford in the Norwich Consistory for all that you have done for us. Sure, we were also part of that, but Reverend Huckford, you have come very faithfully to serve the congregation here in Cortland. You have done that willingly. I know that very much. And it has never been a burden, though it made your schedule often very, very busy. And as it was mentioned in this evening, then we are our own congregation now, which seems in a certain sense a little bit strange, but officially you're not our minister, but you're our moderator. That seems, I don't think we will see it that way, but yet it is very much as things are done in an orderly way. Thank you very much, and may the Lord give that we may, of course, continue to labor together in this part also of the vineyard of the Lord, but also the Norwich Consistory. I know many of you have spent very many hours in searching things out that when that commission was given to seek another place to come together to worship the Lord, many, many hours went into that. And we know it was also with disappointments when you at one time had thought to have a place where that a group could come together and the Lord had closed that door, and yet in that same day the Lord opened the door. And that was the door wherein that we may also come together here in this place. May the Lord be acknowledged in those ways, but also in the manifold labors that have taken place behind the scenes, also in the preparation of documents and sending it to the government, all takes a tremendous amount of hours. Thank you very much on behalf of Cortland congregation. I think it's also fitting that I say a few words. It is almost 20 years that we may serve with some of the brothers in Norwich. It surely will feel different. But there are, I may say also, in those 20 years, things that will never be forgotten, where that we may not only have done the labors that had to be done for the congregation, but there were also times where that we may speak heart to heart about the ways of the Lord, but that we may also experience and hear those ways in the midst of the congregation of Norwich. May the Lord remember you also and gather with you and us all together. Thank you, Reverend DeLeo, Reverend Dan Hollander, on behalf of Classes Far West and Classes East, your kind words, your well wishes. May the Lord fulfill them in his way and in his time. But also a special thank you to the other ministers. It is not because of you, but because the office that the Lord has given unto you. It is also special that we may see you here to celebrate this special moment. But now I also know that you know the address of Cortland. And so we also hope that we may see you from time to time to also serve the congregation here when the Lord will give the strength to do so. Brothers in the consistory, an impossible task has been placed upon us in this evening. We know very well that the Lord does not call holy angels unto this task, but he calls sinful rebels of the dust. And then we must say, who is sufficient to this task? We are not sufficient. We have no strength to do these things. But what does the Lord say in his word? In 2 Corinthians 12, my grace is sufficient for thee. When we are weak, when it is impossible for us. There the Lord desires to also supply that strength, for he says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And I hope, brothers, that we may serve in that way, in weakness. As we have heard it, we don't have to mention all of the things that have been mentioned, right? But that we may truly labor together, knowing it is his cause. It's not our cause. It's not our congregation. It's his. And it's his cause. And the Lord will fulfill his own promises. And he will fulfill his own word. And he will have a people to the youngest day of the world. Why? As we started. Because his mercy endureth forever. And may it be that we go forward in that way in the portion of the Lord's vineyard that we are called to labor. And may the God of Bethel, who has appeared unto Jacob to promise that he would not leave Jacob, but fulfill all he has promised, but who has also said unto Jacob in Genesis 25, verse 1, arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God, which we may believe has also been commissioned unto us, that he may dwell amongst us and bless us together. Those heavenly graces, they're all undeserved from our side. They're all forfeited, and yet they're so necessary, brothers. And again, we may say, it is possible because of that finished work of Christ. That is what we may also bring to the congregation, the sermons that we may read. Oh, that we may stick together with our old trusted forefathers who bring that blessed message of death in Adam and life in Christ. Nothing in man, all in him. There in the Lord receives all the honor and the glory, and that Christ is that great and that only perfect office bearer. He would supply us out of his threefold office. I was also asked to mention the office bearer's wives, often forgotten about. Many times at home, by themselves, when we are called to serve the congregation, may it please the Lord to remember them, and that the congregation also would remember our wives. Then also pray for them and us all together, dear congregation of Cortland. I'm going to read a few verses from Hebrews 13, starting with verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. We see here in these three verses that we've read, three, we could say, great duties. First and foremost, in that first verse, it mentions our spiritual obligation, not to your office bearers, but first to the Lord. Your office bearers, we can give you nothing. If you are looking to us to grant grace, it is true. But Reverend DeLeo has mentioned the Lord is pleased to use a means, yes. But we cannot give you anything. Never set us upon a pedestal. Never. But look unto the Lord that he would be pleased to bless our labors. The second duty that we see there is what we could say is a social obligation, caring for the needy, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So to your fellow man, yes, we are called to rule over you, to guide you, to lead you. But do not forget, it also begins with the members. When we look out for one another and we pray for one another, is so important. May we experience that. And then in verse 17, where it mentions about obeying them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? The Lord doesn't leave us guessing. For they watch over your soul. That's our duty. when we come, as was mentioned. But the thus saith the Lord, that we may do it in all honesty, that we may also do it with joy. We have to give an account what we have done with you, whether we've dealt honestly with you. And what is mentioned here, that we may do it with joy, it will not be for your profit. If we have to lay the dear congregation of Cortland before the Lord time and time again and say it is nothing but a stiff-necked people who have no desire to walk in thy ways, but that we may come, as it were, with joy. Also, before the Lord, and that we may, what we find in Psalm 106 also, that we may rejoice the inheritance of the Lord, that we may see the good of his people, and that he would remember us with that favor that he bears unto all his people. And therefore, we hope that we may labor together in such a way with the Lord's blessing. And then in closing, I would like to sing together from Psalter 417. 417, and we will sing the first and the second verse, and we will do that standing. Send forth, O Lord of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation, where neath thy wing I'll be supplied with grace thou wilt provide. May that be experienced, to be there. And I tell you, congregation, there is no better place than if we may be beneath, but we sing there, thy wing is no better place. Oh, may we recommend that unto you, and that with his grace he will provide. 1 and 2, standing of 417.
Oh,
us for your word spoken. May the Lord graciously fulfill them. I wish to announce that after the service there are refreshments in the basement. You may now receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.